Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Well, it is Father's Day, and so I think we're going to start Acts next week. This week we'll do a Father's Day message. You might be saying, well, what does that have to do with us, women? Well, actually it does, because what goes with the father goes with the mother. So many ways. But what I'd like to do is, in honor of the fathers, do something that fathers usually know very well and do some father jokes, if you will, dad jokes. First, start off with a couple puns. I wanted to take pictures of the fog this morning, but I missed my chance, so I guess I could do it tomorrow. Why did the balloons run away from the concert? They were playing a pop music concert. Did you know the first French fries weren't actually cooked in France? They were cooked in Greece. What do you call someone with nobody and no nose? Oh, excuse me, let me say that again. What do you call someone with no body and no nose? Nobody knows. Why did the melons get married? Because they cantaloupe. This is one of my wife's favorites. How do you make a Kleenex dance? Put a little boogie in it, yeah. You knew it, didn't you? You use that one, don't you? Best one-liners. The Lego shop reopens tomorrow, but I recommend avoiding it for the time being. People will be lined up for blocks. Not my jokes. I ordered a chicken and an egg online. I'll let you know. I think that was kind of clever. The best way to communicate with a fish is to drop them a line. I'll call you later. Don't call me later. Call me dad. That's something my dad would have said. What did one ocean say to the other ocean? Nothing. They just waved. How many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles. 10 tickles. 10 tickles. How does Darth Vader like his toast?
On the dark side.
My neighbor listens to really good music, whether they like it or not. I have a pen that can write underwater. It can write other words too. I'm reading a book. Thank you, Brian. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put it down. Get it? A little science there, huh? I got to keep going. I got them. I got to keep going. How about some knock-knock jokes? Ready? Knock-knock. You guys got to say who's there, okay? Knock-knock. Candace, open the door. I'm stuck out here. Knock, knock. Abe Lincoln. Oh, you got to be kidding. You don't know who Abe Lincoln is? I thought that was pretty clever. Knock, knock. A little old lady. I didn't know you guys could yodel. Two, three more. Knock, knock. Anita, go to the bathroom. Knock, knock. Spell. W-H-O. Last one. Knock, knock. Icing. Icing so loudly everyone can hear me. Me, 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 me. Dad jokes. Now, it's funny because when your kids are young, they think you're a superhero. I still remember the day my sons, they were probably 4 and 6, maybe 5 and 7. They came running into the house and said, "Dad, our ball just rolled underneath the house." I said, "Okay." So I walk out there. I see where it is. I go, "Okay, look, I'll lift up this corner of the house and you guys run in there and get it." And they both went like this. I felt two things. One, I felt, wow, they really think I can. The other was, boy, it's nothing but downhill from here. You're going to discover Dad isn't that perfect. And nobody is perfect. But you know what? There's something briefly I do want to talk about this morning. See, we talk about ourselves being children of God. And that's right, we are. Each and each one of us, as we sang, we are children. But there's something we don't really like to, well, I shouldn't say like, that's not the right word. There's something that we don't talk about, especially for you husbands, but it also goes with you women, is that God calls us to be grown-ups. God calls the men to be men of God. Not just a child, but a man. A man that understands what has been given to us and what God requires of us. Now, Moses, at the end of his life, he was going to bless the children of Israel. And it says, "Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." And it goes on in verse 33, or in chapter 33. But the end in chapter 34, it says, "Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural figure diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. But since then, there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Now, we know that another prophet has come. In fact, he's more than a prophet. But see, the idea that I'm trying to bring out in that is that one is that Moses was called a man of God. Now, in the Old Testament, a man of God was typically a man of God, a prophet, a king. I shouldn't say a king. A man of God was either a prophet or a priest. Might be surprising, but David was really never called exactly a man of God. But as a very good book, if you ever want a good book to read, is Alan Redpath's Making of a Man of God. And it goes through the life of David. And David, through his trials and tribulations, God was making into a man after his own heart. And if you will, that's what God calls each of us to be, men and women to God's heart, men, women. See, to be a child is good because it reminds us how good God is as our Father. But to stay there means that we're not going to grow. Take the understanding that we're supposed to grow up and be men and women. Never, just like me, I was a child all my life to my father till he died, my mom. Just as you still have your mom and dad around, some of you. And you're still a child to them. Always a child, not necessarily like a baby child, but you're there. You're theirs. But see, the point is that it's time that, too, we need to understand what God has provided for us. And it's time to, in some ways, grow up in our mentality and our thoughts. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, Paul, writing to Timothy, says this. He says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I believe he's talking to everyone. All humanity that follow Christ. Now, earlier we're going to see that he's speaking to Timothy because of the ministry that God has given to him. But understand that to be the man of God to all, complete, that word means fitted, perfect, complete in Christ. Like Colossians says, it says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in Christ this morning. Thoroughly equipped, enabled to meet all the demands of a godly life, to minister. And for us as fathers, to minister to our children. And some of us, to our grandchildren. But we have to understand the verse that goes before that is 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it's being called a grown-up, but understand these things. That the Bible, the Word, the Scripture is for doctrine. It's for divine instruction and teaching. That God wants to teach all of us to grow up. What you need to know, proof, reproof, proof, the truth about sin, that He rebukes us in a good way. He corrects us the way back to God and righteous living, and to share with our loved ones the truth that God teaches each of us. Our Father is constantly teaching us, and as fathers, we are to constantly teach our children. Sometimes when they get older, of course, we learn from them, and we're also learning from them when they're little. Amen. But the point is that you do have wisdom and understanding. You have experience, and it's important to share that with your loved ones, a.k.a. children. The other day, I was having lunch with my son, and for the most part, we were just talking. But there was a few things he asked, and I answered. I gave advice. That's true for all of us. But see, the picture again is that God is there for us to always to ask questions, to be taught, to live, to grow. So understand something. The first thing that I want you to take note of are the two verses that we were just speaking of. It's to read and to heed. It's to take note of what God's trying to teach us and to obey. It's part of growing up. It's what we desire of our children too, isn't it? Not just to instruct, but to obey. Now, it's interesting, you might have one, but I had one that he basically had to learn on his own. Yeah, I could warn him, the fire's hot, but it didn't matter. He had to stick his hand in and experience himself, and then he would come back and report to me, Dad, the fire's hot. You could have avoided that, my son. Some learn that way, though, hands-on, and I get it, but it still doesn't take away from the fact of being instructed and taught. And if you will, that's the way God is with us. He's hands-on with us. He wants us to learn, to avoid certain experiences, but when we do experience those things, that we know through His Word that we can come back, that we can be corrected, that we can find our way back to His lap. Because He's never far from us, just as we sang earlier. The second thing I want you to take note of is that we're to flee and pursue. We find this in 1 Timothy 6:11. Paul says to Timothy, and again, it speaks to us too, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience with gentleness. Flee. Flee from what? Well, if we went to the verses before that, he speaks of pride, obsessed with debates and arguments, envy, strife, slander, thinking the worst of people, dissatisfied, obsession with money, sin. Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we see we're fleeing from sin. We're fleeing when we learn the instruction. We don't have to experience these things. We don't have to put our hand in the fire. But if you are of this human race, we put our hands in the fire and say, my, doesn't it hurt? Because that's what sin does. It hurts, it destroys, it damages. But see, it's to flee from one thing, but it's to pursue or run to follow after what? Righteousness. That's right living with God. It's godliness. It's right understanding of who God is and what He has provided. It's embracing and reflecting on others' love, patience, and gentleness. It's caring about other people the way our Father cares about us and others. So it doesn't matter who that person is that drives you nuts. It's always to take a step back and realize how God has called us out of the fire. And some people, they just need to stick their whole body in before they realize this really does hurt. We, again, regardless of what our children do or others, we're to be there for them as our God is with us. So we read, we heed, we flee, we pursue. The third I want you to take note of is lay hold on and fight. In fact, that's found in the verse previous to the one that I just quoted. Or after, I'm sorry. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That word lay hold on, it means to seize, to get a grip on, to take possession of. The reason I put that first is to understand you have eternal life to which you were called. And Ephesians puts it this way. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. If you didn't absorb that, again, I refer you back to Ephesians chapter 1 and read the whole chapter. What God has blessed us with, what has he equipped us with, that he's called us to as an adoption, that we are his children. And to take hold of this truth, eternal life with him awaits each of us. But that life abundantly begins now. And that doesn't mean the riches of this earth, but it means the riches of our relationship with him, our Father. With Nat knowing that, knowing what has been given to us, knowing the blessings that God has provided for us and everything that we need for godliness, as Peter says, everything's provided. His Spirit dwells in each of us. Knowing that then, laying hold of it, take possession of it. I am my Father's son. I am his child. Not because I'm wonderful, not because I'm great. It's because I stuck my hand in the fire and said, that hurts. I don't want to live like this. I too, just like you saw him, he was on the cross. He died for my sins. But even better yet, he rose from the dead. See, if he didn't rise, the death meant nothing. Because the resurrection promises me the truth of everything he did, he completed, he said. It's mine. Again, not because of the goodness of me, but the goodness and the greatness of my Savior. I am saved. Can you say amen to that? Now, from that is where we get fight. Fight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Why? Because you're more than a conqueror through him who loved us. And he that's in you is greater than he that's in this world. Fight. Fight the battle of your flesh. Fight the battle of the world. Fight the battle of the enemy. Why? Because you've already been given victory. I know you may not feel it. I know you may feel whipped. I know men, sometimes you just feel like a child and you just have toothpicks in your hand and you're fighting against an unknown enemy and you don't know which toothpick to use. And the last one is broken. But the truth of the matter is God has given us everything that we need to fight against him. It's to hold on to these truths and to understand you're going to make it. It's all in the battle. It's all in the fight. You don't ever give up. You don't ever give in. You always go back. You always seek forgiveness. You always seek correction. You always seek the strength to continue. Don't ever give in. God's not looking for you to be perfect. God's looking for each of us to be dependent upon him, receive what he's given, and fight. Men, fight. Fight for your family. Fight for your faith. Fight for your marriages. Fight. Don't give in. Fight at the work that you're in. Not necessarily with others, but just the battle that happens mentally day in and day out. Here I go again. Pushing this rock up the hill. Just when I get it up there to the top, it goes flying down the other side. And then I got to get up the next morning and push the same rock back up the same hill. And that's the way it feels sometimes when you're working. But remember, everything is a classroom with God. The Father is there teaching us. Continue on, no matter what. It's like the man that was an expert, famous pianist. He had a concert. I don't remember his name. I'm going by memory. The story I do remember. See, while they were waiting for him to come to the stage, the piano sat on the stage, and all of a sudden, a 6-year-old boy walked up to the piano while the other adults were talking and stuff, and then he started playing. What's that called again? Chopsticks. Thank you. Started playing chopsticks. And the people in the crowd started to murmur, complain. Whose kid is that? Where's his parents? I can't believe they're not watching. Look at that. He's touching the piano the master's about ready to play on. Who knows what he's going to do to it? Get sticky hands on it. You know how kids are eating chocolate or whatever. What's he doing? Somebody do. But the master heard this. And he, from backstage, he walked onto the stage, sat next to the kid, and started playing this beautiful melody right behind him. And kept telling the kid, don't stop. Keep going. So your life might be chopsticks. The master. It's a symphony. He is making beautiful music. Keep playing. Don't stop. Now the last thing I want you to take note of, what we've talked about, read and heed, flee and pursue, lay hold of and fight, is watch and pray. You know this from the garden. Jesus, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, if it was left at that, we would say, my, that seems a little tough. But understand something, that Jesus earlier said this to them. I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. Is to understand something, is to watch and pray as with discernment from the Him who knows all things, that He instructs and He teaches and He guides us. The work that He's doing beautifully inside us that tells us to keep going, don't stop, keep the battle up, keep going, keep praying, keep watching, keep discerning. Discern over your children, watch over them, see what they're doing. So that not that you can come and lay the hammer down, but you can come beside them and instruct them and teach them and correct them in the way they should go. Understand, they still might put their whole body in the fire. They still might do the things that you pray and wish they never did, but you instruct them. So what that does, it brings back to memory the truth that you not only spoke, but you also represented it and gave an example. The power of you parents, especially you fathers, as we're speaking of, power. There's been many a story that a child would listen to their father, but then when they found out their father was a hypocrite and what they were telling them, would do the opposite. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. But it's those that continue to fight, that don't give up, that keep doing what they know is right. Those are the ones that impact their children, regardless of how much they messed up. I can tell you this personally because my dad struggled through a lot of things. My dad, in the outside, you look at him and you'd say, my son says, I just compare him with John Wayne and Johnny Cash, those two. In some ways, that is true because Johnny Cash chased his demons all his life. My dad, he struggled. He struggled with a lot of things. But one thing he didn't struggle with He knew that he had to stand up and he had to walk with God. He knew that was the only way. When I was 15, he stopped drinking. He wasn't abusive physically, but when he would drink, which usually was on a Saturday, he became very verbally abusive. You could never do anything right. It came to a point that he realized, you know what, this isn't good. I'm losing the fight. So he gave his life back to Christ, and then the fight began. Because it wasn't like he became a perfect man, but now he had the Spirit that would correct him. He struggled with the things that, you know, in the past of his life. And we all have a past. See, my dad, he could stand up here and tell you something else about his father. Because his father was very hard, very rough, very, very strict. My dad said he never hugged him. Not once. He was told many a times, a child is to be seen and not heard. Not once did my grandfather go support my dad in his sports. And my dad was good. Not once. But see, something happened to my grandfather. Because he was an atheist, at least that's what he claimed. Until he went out and stared at the stars. This is many years after my dad left his house. But he came back inside, he looked at his wife and he said, okay, I believe. Just by staring at the stars. He never really went deeper than that because he was a man of few words. But you know what? He began to change. And I could still remember this day. I was probably 12 years old when I saw my dad and my grandfather hug. Probably for the first time. It's the fight. You don't give up. You keep fighting. You keep fighting for what you believe in. Keep fighting for what you've been given. In Ephesians 6:11, it's a very interesting verse. The reason why I say it's interesting because I want you to hear this. Because you are very familiar with it. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because, as I said before, I'm no superhero. Neither are you. But God has given each of us, if you will, superhero armor. Each one. That's why it's important every day to put it on. Every day. You can do so much more abundantly, more than you could ask or think. Because that's what He promises. So remember something as I conclude. Read and heed. Obey. Flee. Pursue. Lay hold of these truths. Fight. Watch. And pray. Ask. Be given to you. Seek. And you will find. Knock. And it will be open. But remember something. It's not a knock-knock joke. It's not to puff yourself up. It's to understand again the good blessings and the gifts that your Father desires to give you. But it's His call. Because what He gives is always the right thing. Always. It's kind of like the books that we read when we were younger. The books about somebody giving something to somebody and they're going, what do I need this for? You'll find out. You'll need it. And it's the same with each of us. God will give us the very thing we need when we need it. But one thing we can all take hold of is that God, our Father, is always with us because of His Son dying for us. The Son has sent the Spirit on our behalf. We are not left as orphans. But He calls to all of us to fight. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for these truths. And I just again pray for the fathers in this congregation, Lord. I pray that You'd help them to grab hold of these truths. Father, for that matter, I pray for myself too, that we all grab hold of these truths. That what You have given us, Lord, is more abundantly than we can ask or think. That You have given us all things pertaining to godliness. And Lord, You have given us everything we need to fight and to live in this life. Lord, we pray as fathers, we pray that we would continue to look over our children, watch over them, pray for them. Pray that they would have a relationship with You. That they could avoid the certain things that we have done wrong. But Lord, that they would grab hold of the things that we have done right. And I pray that each of us, what that is to fight. To fight for the truths that we know are true. Fight for, not for You, but to fight for the sense that to see You clear in what You have abundantly given. Not letting our flesh or the world or the enemy get in the way of our vision. Lord, we also pray for the women in this church, for these truths also apply to them. I pray, Lord, that they too would grab hold of these things and understand what God has given them is so much more than they could ever ask or think. Bless, Lord, us as parents. Bless the young people here. I pray that they have heard, they're instructed, that they will not have to stick their hands in the fire all the time or go into it whole bodily, but they'd realize what to avoid and keep their eyes on You. So bless, Lord, this congregation. Help us to continue to grow into maturity. And may You always be honored and glorified here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.